Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Realty Universal Radio. Started to say good afternoon because it is 12 noon here in California. It is 3 o'clock on the East Coast, and it is, let me see, I can do the math. It is 10 o'clock in Hawaii, and we are going to be talking in just a moment to Natalie Mullenix, president of Realty Universal. This is Realty Universal Radio, and it's a show about real estate, no doubt about it. It's also a show about the universe and about how really synchronicity and God and being the change that we all want to be in the universe and how we really do need each other. And again, we want this show not only to leave you with nuggets about real estate and how you can be a better buyer, seller, agent, however you're involved in the real estate world, but also be a better person, be a better human being, be about somebody who is about changing the world, and that's exactly what we hope to do. And in the first half hour or so, we're going to be talking, of course, about real estate. We're going to be getting to know Natalie Mullenix, president of Realty Universal, and she is an amazing woman who I had the good fortune of meeting a few years ago in Los Angeles, and we've been involved over the years in various projects, and so I'm excited about being a part of this show. This has been a dream of ours for a long, long time. In the second half hour of our program, typically every day, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how, again, we can be the change and how we can help this planet and help other people, and in that process find God as well. And, of course, this month and today, Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And we've got a couple of interviews in the second half hour where we're going to be sharing with you ways you can get involved in helping combat human trafficking. It is it's an issue that is really increasingly rampant on our planet, and it's heartbreaking. And we've got some statistics, and then we're going to talk to some folks who are making a difference. And before we go any farther, though, what I would like to do is welcome from the, I don't know if she's on the Big Island, we'll check. She's calling from Hawaii, Natalie Mullenix, president of Realty Universal. Aloha.
Hey, Randy, how are you? How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing okay. It's a little cold here in Central California, a little foggy. I'm guessing other than the volcano fog, you're doing okay, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful here. It's absolutely beautiful.
Can now, are you on the Big Island?
I'm in the Big Island right now. I'm on a little bit, I'm not too far from Kona. Can you hear the birds, Randy? Can you hear them chirping?
I can hear the birds chirping. And, you know, that's a little-known deal about Hawaii. You know, people who just go there and go to the resorts don't know about some of the things that residents know about, like fog, right? There is such a thing as fog. It's volcano fog. Yeah.
You have the L.A. Well, you're not – how far are you from? You're a few hours away. You have the L.A. fog. Fog, and we have the Hawaii fog, but
yeah, it's the same kind of deal.
Yeah, it really depends on the trade winds.
Huh? Natalie Mullenix is president of Realty Universal, and what I'd like to do, Natalie, if we could here for the first few moments in this first segment, is I'd really like people to kind of get to know who you are, what Realty Universal is about as a company. And again, kind of in a few minutes, maybe 4, 5, 6 minutes, just kind of talk about that. I mean, you are a broker, of course, president of Realty Universal, and you've been in real estate 26 years, Maryland, also in Hawaii. And I know you're award-winning broker as well. You were just recently awarded some other I don't call them prizes, but awards in the real estate
business. They don't mean anything.
And talk to us a little bit about, first of all, Realty Universal, how you came to, because your story is so inspiring. And I think, honestly, as we embark on this journey, really, for people to get to know you, a little bit of your story and how you ended up being the president of Realty Universal.
And you too. Well, Realty Universal, I've been in, as you said, over 26 years. And I Realty Universal actually, I started devising real estate menu systems way back in 94. And it, since then, it's become a way of the future everywhere. And I could really see that way back before we started having the public use the Internet. Of course, the government's been using the Internet for years. And so I think what happens when you're in an industry and you love it, love God, and love people, you know, osmosis happens and change happens, and you can see problems, solutions, good things, bad things, just everything all wrapped in one. And I really believe that people should have choices, so we started it a long, long time before you saw the public doing it as a whole. And then with the Internet, I could see it being a way of the future. So really what it is Realty Universal now has designed an improved real estate menu system which streamlines the real estate buying and selling process, giving users more customized choices, and works today very beautifully in our virtual Internet environment. With that, though, you and I have been talking for years, I think since like 2004, right? Maybe 03, 04.
Yeah.
I actually met you when I was over in one of the seminars in California and you were promoting.
Yes.
And we stayed in touch ever since. Thank you, Randy. And we've had many conversations about doing this and how to do it and what to do with it. And it's, I know you and Monica have your marriage shows too, right? And it's inspirational.
Yeah.
So Realty Universal, basically, what we've done is started a network of real estate agents and brokers nationwide, and we have a few people in some other areas too. We're working on it being worldwide eventually, that actually, you know, have like minds and believe customers, clients, sellers, buyers should have choices. And what happens is the industry's changed drastically. Sellers are struggling with many situations where they've seen their home values decrease. Substantially. They may want to cut out the middleman but yet need the middleman, i.e. real estate agents, brokers. Buyers, you know, they can get really good deals right now. It's absolutely a great time to buy, and you still have people thinking, well, it's going to go down a lot more, let me wait, which isn't always the case if they're getting a fantastic interest rate. So you have buyers that, you know, would like education too and want to get more equity in the process. Then we have real estate agents who are faced with large expenses and closing transactions. Many, many brokers are still with national franchises, which we really cater to the smaller mom-and-pop brokerages, because I've been being in the industry as long as I've had. You know, people really come to you and people need you for your expertise. They don't really care what company name you're with. They want to know what you're going to do for them and how good you are and how much you care. So our target market when it comes to agents and brokers are more small mom-and-pop. We don't discriminate. We don't say, hey, you can't work with us if you're with a company. You know, it doesn't matter who you're with. We just care that people have integrity and will dot their I's and cross their T's and care. So in the long-winded end of Realty Universal, it's basically a network that caters to people, but we actually caters in a win-win. So sellers and buyers can get involved in the process, save a lot of money, make a lot of money upfront in the process at the end of the transaction as well. But they're not alone. It's kind of like, you know, Home Depot is kind of propped up everywhere, and people can come in and they can save money. Or if they need help with contractors, they can do that. Or they can actually learn the process and get in and dig in and do it themselves. We offer all of those services and still offer the traditional full service. You have people that may, you know, say, that's just not for me. I need everything handled completely. And so it's really a system that offers all of this, but it's not just about business. It's really, if it was just about business and houses and selling houses, I would have gotten out a long, long time ago. Just fit the higher end in commercial, and you know, and they looked at it from the business aspect. It's really about people, and what I realized from being in the industry for years, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but anybody in any industry, I think, you know, you could get tired of it, bored, burned out, anything. I think there's a reason people retire after 20 years in different industries. And no, I mean, I think they're, you know, it's kind of like a, right?
Yeah.
You kind of go, oh my God, what am I doing? And for me, it was like, you know, years back, I would pray to God saying, I really love the self-help aspect of it. You know, I care about people. You get into situations. And so basically, I realized a light bulb went off, and it was like, you know what, real estate is the vehicle. It's the vehicle. It connects us. And me, of course, I become, along the way, and selling thousands of properties, not just fee-for-service. I mean, full-service, really digging in developments, raw land, record plot. I've really, you know, become an expert in my field. I can totally say, yes, I'm an expert in this field. That's what Real Universal is about, because it's people, and we have the spiritual aspect to it. Because to me, without the spiritual, and we're all spiritual beings, the rest doesn't really matter. So we kind of intertwine it, and that's what I'm really passionate about doing now, is taking that out to the world more and more through products and services, and giving back, and also letting people, buyers, sellers, agents, and brokers get a part of it and be a part of it, and in an equity fashion too. So it's pretty fun. It really is fun. And that's a long-winded story about what Real Universal is about. But
I think it's important that people know what you're up to and why you're doing it, and you can absolutely hear the passion in your voice. And I know for a fact, and we'll just say this, you and I have been talking about this, and let's just say this, because I think it's important to say what we're doing right now is the product of, you know, a couple of aborted attempts at collaboration, right? I mean, we began to talk kind of the same language about giving back and the universe and God and all that stuff. And we connected in there, and yet I we thought, well, maybe I should become a real estate. I got licensed to sell real estate.
Sorry, I can't help but laugh about that.
In Hawaii, yeah. While I was still living here, I move over there. We realized really it wasn't my thing, and so there was an aborted attempt, and then a couple other situations. And I guess the lesson, the takeaway would be, we figured this thing out. You know, we kept at it. We didn't give up.
We still like each other. We're still friends right now. You know what happened? What was meant to be is becoming. I mean, you are such a pro in radio. You are a pro. You know, you've been in it, 35 plus years?
I wanted to be a pro in real estate.
You still could do real estate. You're still good at that, too, if you want to do it. But the thing is, we all have our natural talents. And I think you've been in real estate, 35 years plus, right, at least?
In radio.
I mean, not real estate. I meant radio. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I meant radio. And 35 plus years, and you're a pro. And I'm definitely a pro in real estate. And I think, but you're good in real estate, too. I think you were getting into saying, okay, let me just go do the real estate and put aside the radio. And you can't. You're too good at naturally getting the people presenting and together. It's just you've got such a talent for that, you know. So,
yeah.
But with us, I mean, we knew. I think one thing that we did have in common from day one is we both believe in God. I think that was a commonality that, you know, we both have our faith and we trust. And, I think that made a difference. I think we connected. I think we both knew from day one that we could trust each other. We didn't know where we were going to go with this, way back. Seriously, right? And then, I remember you were calling, well, I won't say different company names, right, way back, we're like, wait a minute, it means this and this. And I think it's just, I think sometimes in life, what I'm finding is, you know, we may go full circle, but God already knows where we're going to end up, right? I really firm believe that we're in this to serve, and we really are. And what happens, though, when people are like us in the sense of wanting to serve and help people, it can become so exhausting because then we forget to take care of ourselves, right?
Yep.
And we care so much, we don't think about our needs. And that's what I've learned with age, and a lot of years in the industry, is that we have to do that, and we have to keep it balanced, but still care. Because I'm looking at, I talk to a lot of people around the world. I'm blessed with what I do and being able to do it virtually and with the network and keeping a pulse on different areas. So it's a lot of work to do that, but yet, on the other hand, it's just so much fun. And I talk to people everywhere, and sometimes you can tell when somebody cares or they mean it, or if they're like, I don't care. Just bottom line it, I don't care. I just want the money. I could care less. I hate what I'm, you know, and you can tell. And but there's a double-edged sword to that, when we care, we can care too much, so we have to find the happy medium. And that's what we actually try to teach the clients, the sellers and buyers in our industry as well. It's a two-way street. So somebody can't come to us and say, hey, I want it all. I want to save everything. I want you to do all the work. I want you to do, you know, yada, 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 and I'm going to be mean to you and think we're going to work with them, you know. So it's a two-way street. And I find it really rewarding because we get into the real life issues, and in residential real estate, and we've done commercial as well, but I've always focused a lot on the people end of it. You get into things, situations where you're really helping people with their lives and motivational, and so it's a really fun thing, but we also hold people accountable. So I think with you and I, with what we're doing, there's no doubt in my mind that we're supposed to be doing this. And I think we're a good team to do it, you know, with our talents. And I trust you, and you trust me. You know, it's kind of a, it's neat. And it's fun because we have to make it fun, too, right? We have to lighten up about it. And I tend to get a little too serious and get into the details of the problem, you know, thing. And you'll turn around and pull me back and make me, like, just say, okay, Nellie, chill out. This is okay. You know what I mean? Because and I don't even mean, and you know me well enough to know that I'm not that serious about it, but I'll sound like that because I'll get so detailed and analytical, you know?
So
I just want to, you know, and I'll tell you, the biggest thing is who we can serve and who we can help. And I think the other thing about going full circle and getting older is, you're going to always have the people that go, oh, phooey, I don't like this, I don't want to, you know, or the people that say it's wonderful, or you're going to get the naysayers. I mean, God forbid, I would never want to be in politics right now, isn't it? It is just so unprofessional in people, you know, yelling at each other, calling people names, the public being unprofessional. I mean, I would not want to be in it. I think that platform is such a tough, difficult place to be because our society's changing. So I think so for me and what we're doing, and I think I went on too long already because we're probably due for a break. I think I really believe that something that happens, because you know when you get older, is you don't care what, if you know you're doing the right thing, you don't care what the people say or do. You know you're prepared for, you're going to get the people that are going to say, you guys are, you know, and that's fine, that's okay, because they're all in different places too, you know, I don't know where somebody else is, so.
Yeah, exactly, and you're right, and boy, that kind of transition to our next segment, we're going to be talking about today's topic, and that's short sales. By the way, Nellie Mullinex, president of Realty Universal, the website is realtyuniversal.com. If you've been listening and kind of interested now, hearing a little bit of, again, what we're about, why we're about it, realtyuniversal.com is the website. And for the radio show, we are going to be getting a Facebook page and Twitter and all that going, so you'll be able to get us your questions, and that's going to become a big, increasingly larger part of the show is people asking real estate questions. But we are always going to include as well inspirational stories and maybe ways you can give back and ways you can help change the world. And before we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back and talk about short sales, and that's kind of Nellie was transitioning into that by talking about the economy and this day and age, and that's a fact of life these days for so many people. And we're going to talk about maybe some of the pros and cons and just kind of an overview. Obviously, this show is not meant to be in any way, shape, or form a show that, you know, you should absolutely take what we say and go, oh, I got to go do that, because we are, you know, we're not accountants. And you always, as Nellie, we've said before, you absolutely have to talk to your accountant and your attorney and your realtor and your situation. We don't know your situation. And so just take what we share and obviously, you know, add it to your knowledge base and take
it for... we have to put that little disclaimer in that this is for educational purposes only. It's no way to be presented as legal or as tax advice, like Randy just said, and to please consult with your attorneys and accountants prior to moving forward. And for the legal reasons, and also that each person's situation is completely different. There may be some little piece that your accountant or attorney also knows and adds to the situation besides the legal end. The legal end is most important. That we wouldn't know. We wouldn't, you know, so when you take something and you hear it and you want to run with it, please investigate it all the way. Totally.
Indeed. All right, we will be back again. Nellie Mullinex, president of Realty Universal, and we're going to come back and talk about short sales. What we're going to do here is share a bit of a story, just a couple of minutes, This is amazing. It's inspirational, and this is a big part of what we want to do throughout the whole show is inspire you. And this is a guy, someone who was blind. In fact, he's the only blind person ever to climb Mount Everest. Give this a listen.
A common trait heroes often share is the courage to challenge society's misperceptions. Eric Weinmayer challenged naysayers when he attempted what was said to be impossible, climb Mount Everest, blind.
Well, you know, at first when you're blind and you think about Everest, you know, you think, well, maybe I'm just crazy. I want to think this through in a rational way. Maybe there are things that I won't be able to overcome.
When Eric Weinmayer first began to consider the possibility of climbing the world's tallest mountain, he knew he had to carefully consider any overwhelming obstacles.
I'd heard, for instance, like the snow conditions on Everest were such that they're so hard up high that you couldn't stop yourself if you fell. Meaning you couldn't arrest yourself, you couldn't throw yourself down on your ice axe and stop yourself. I'd heard that in the death zone above 26,000 feet, you can barely think. And I know as a blind person, I'm always thinking when I'm climbing. I'm thinking about the next step and about the person in front of me. And so I think so much that I thought, well, I can't think and I can't see. I mean, that's a huge, overwhelming combination.
Eric has spent his entire life working through obstacles.
I was born legally blind, so I couldn't see very well even when I was born. It was a rare eye disease called retinaschisis. It unraveled my retinas, and so I was only left with peripheral vision, so I could only see out of the sides of my eyes. And I went blind finally for real when I was 13 years old, just before my freshman year in high school.
Although he'd been told he'd eventually go completely blind, the darkness was a shock. Eric felt himself being crushed with fear and uncertainty.
I wasn't afraid to go blind and see blackness. You know, what I was afraid of was that I'd be, you know, swept to the sidelines and forgotten that my life would be meaningless.
But Eric was blessed with parents who encouraged him to live as fully a life as possible. As Eric's eyesight faded, his dad created ways for Eric to continue playing the sports he loved for as long as he had any vision. When Eric encountered resistance at school to participate in activities, his mother stood up for his right to be allowed to try. Their support fueled a determination in Eric to not be lost in the darkness.
Well, I think what pulled me out was sort of a common human trait, which is optimism. Even though you feel like there's a brick wall in front of you and you don't see options, you still have this glimmer of hope. You know, we always have hope. And so I just always stayed optimistic, even though I was frustrated about how I would do the things that I wanted to do, to not kind of try to see it as some kind of terrible disease that was ravaging my system, but instead to accept it and to, in a way, I guess, turn into the storm and to face the facts of what had happened to me, accept them, and in a way, I guess, become a pragmatist, you know, kind of figure out exactly what I needed to do to climb my way out. And so I started learning how to use a cane, and I started learning how to use Braille to read with my fingers and to use computers with voice synthesizers. And all those skills became the foundation for me thinking about my life in terms of, you know, amazing possibilities.
Two sports in which Eric was able to channel his drive were wrestling and rock climbing.
I was 16 when I started rock climbing. And, you know, wrestling was really fun and competitive. But rock climbing to me was so special because, you know, you could feel the texture of the rocks under your hands and you could feel the patterns of hot and cold as the sun touched the rock, and you had the open space in front of you and the sun in your face, and it was, I was completely problem solving my way up the rock face using my hands and my feet, you know, using my balance and strength to kind of figure out that puzzle that's embedded in the rock. And for me, it was almost like a rebirth. It was so exhilarating.
At 16, Eric was successfully working through the challenges of being blind when tragedy struck.
And I was kind of just working my way back, kind of getting, you know, finding my footing as a blind person. And I was at wrestling camp, and my dad showed up early, and he told me that my mom had been killed in a car accident. So, you know, in a way, going blind was tough, but, you know, losing somebody like my mom was, I don't know, 1,000 times harder than going blind. It made going blind seem easy. But, and death is one of those things you just, you know, how do you deal with it, you know? So what you do, I think I've tried to do is to push forward as a living person and to try to live as actively and as you know, give as much impact on the world as I can and, you know, reach my potential as a person. And I think that's the best you can do, and that's the best honor you can give to those who have passed away.
Eric continued to live his life as fully as possible. After high school, he attended college, graduating with a degree in education, which led him to a teaching position in Phoenix, Arizona. Here he found what he described as a big jumble of rocks, an ideal environment for an emerging rock climber.
We're going to hear more of Eric's story either a little later today or maybe next week, but inspiring young man blind from birth and has now climbed the 7 highest peaks in the world, to include Mount Everest, and he's blind. So what are your limitations is what I'm asking. If you're a listener today saying, wow, I've got this and I've got that and woe is me, wow. And that's our goal again.
Helen Keller, right? You know, we were like, wait a minute, you know, we can do it.
Yeah, Natalie Mullenix with us from the Big Island in Hawaii. You are tuned to Realty Universal Radio. My name is Randy Zachary. I'm in California. She's on the Big Island of Hawaii. And this is a program about real estate. It's also a program about the universe, about being the change that you want to see. It's about God. It's about a lot of stuff, mainly that we really do need each other. And this segment, Natalie, we want to talk a little bit about short sales. And again, time constraints, this is a topic I'm sure with your experience you could talk on for hours. But for somebody, again, who you know, has heard the term but not really familiar with what a short sale is, if you could kind of give us a definition of what a short sale is and maybe some scenarios where it might be the thing to do.
Okay, as a real estate short sale, because I'm sure everybody's heard of different short sales and shorting the market and other types of situations like that. In real estate, what a short sale is when you're asking the lender, the mortgage lender, the holder, whomever, to take less than what you can sell the property for or whatever you can pay it off for. So, for example, say you have a property and you may owe $600,000 on your mortgage, but the property is only worth $500,000 in today's market. I'm using some Hawaii numbers, lower number. And in this situation, the lender takes a short on what is due on the outstanding loan. The homeowner sells the property for less than the outstanding balance, and then the loan, the proceeds get turned over less to the lender. Now, with a short sale, some people go ahead and ask what's the difference between a short sale and a foreclosure. A short sale is when you are getting the lender to take less on the property and you're selling the property and then the lender's accepting the proceeds. A foreclosure is when the lender actually forecloses on your property and takes full possession, and then it can be turned into an REO asset of the bank, and then they can sell the property. And there's also loan servicing companies and a lot of different things that we're not going to have time to go into today about that. But with a short sale, you were asking me, Randy, what the pros and cons are?
What are the pros and cons? I mean, obviously, I've heard that it dings your credit, and there's varying degrees, I hear, depending on, I guess, the degrees of how much, you know, you're short and whatnot. Why don't you talk about, some of the pros and cons of a short sale?
Well, with a short sale, it's going to be better than a foreclosure, because your credit shoots, the scores now are changing pretty drastically, as everything else is. But on the average, your credit score may go down 125, 150 with a short sale. At a foreclosure, it could be 250 plus points.
Wow.
The short sale, we don't know right now. There's so much going on around the country, and we're dealing, basically speaking right now, about the United States of America, that we don't know where this is going to play out with lenders in 2, 4, 6, 8 years from now, because there's such rampant amounts of short sales. So hopefully the lenders are going to, give a little bit of leeway because so many people are underwater and going through this. Short sales, though, are better than a foreclosure. Now, I say that with a caveat, and some attorneys might go, wait a minute, it depends on what state you live in, and yada, yada, yada. So, but overall, a short sale is going to hurt your credit less. Very, very important, though, some states have deficiency judgments, some don't. For example, in Hawaii, if the lender takes less and they haven't agreed to settle your loan in full, they can come after you for and get a deficiency judgment. In California, where you are, Randy, did I say that too loud?
Wow. No, that just dawned on me.
Wow. I'm like on the phone going, oh, gosh, I tend to talk too loud sometimes.
No, that was.
For 20-some years. Where you are in California, they can't get a deficiency judgment. Okay, so different states have different rules. But something that I want to point out, because we have such limited time, is more and more lenders, and I can say Bank of America, I can hold my hand up, I'm not knocking Bank of America. We've done a lot of short sales with Bank of America, you know, and representing clients. Many lenders are starting to not put the release of liability in the language. You know, it used to see way back when, you know, that they would release it. So somebody may think, yes, the lender just told me they're going to accept $500,000 when I really owe them $600,000 and I'm off the hook. Be very, very careful, because the language has to specifically be added in that short sale agreement that you're settling it in full. They're not going to come after you. They're waiving their right to a deficiency judgment. Has to be in there. I've negotiated many different short sales, and again, it's something that's coming up more frequently now than it did in the old days, where they're saying, fine, we'll take that amount, and they're just leaving it out. So if somebody reads this and they're not privy to what's going on, they could easily hurt themselves and then be sued later for the difference. So I guess that just goes back to where make sure you really know what you're doing and make sure the right people are doing it for you.
That does speak to the need, really. And we talk about, you know, this economy and everybody, you know, with the internet's trying to do everything on their own. That really does speak to the need of a realtor who knows what they're doing, doesn't it?
Right. And I'm because I've been in this 26 years. Realtor means you belong to the National Association of Realtors, which I belong to since 1985. But you can be a real estate agent, and I'm a broker. You can be a real estate agent or broker and not be a realtor. I'm only pointing that out because there's a lot of wonderful real estate agents out there that just elect not to belong to National Association of Realtors. And so I just want to point that out in speaking, which just getting technical on it. I think, you know, with our systems and programs, what's really beautiful is you can use us if you need us, but if you don't need us, you don't have to use us. So I firmly believe there's aspects of the deal where you need to have a real estate agent or broker or an attorney, you know, reviewing contracts or like something like this, for example. So many people, I got my short sale was approved. Let me see the language. Wait a minute. You're still on the hook. You know, so exactly, it's a good point, very good point.
You talked a little bit about, and so again, we need to just again share with folks as they're listening, everything we share on Realty Universal Radio is educational purposes, and absolutely, you know, your situation may be different. There's unique situations in everybody's story. And obviously, we don't know your story.
We were going to give you good advice. I mean, as far as things to know, questions, you know, because you always want to have questions for anything you're doing. And then, so don't just take everything at face value. I mean, whomever you're dealing with or wherever you're dealing with, you know, that's really
cool. We've got a bit of a delay here, so sometimes I'm not trying to be rude and talk over Natalie. Hey, if somebody is listening right now and saying, wow, I really need to talk to Natalie, and maybe they've got a situation, they own a home or they're a buyer or a seller or even an agent, the beauty, again, of Realty Universal is that it's universal, right? I mean, that's the beauty of it, is that folks can go on the website at realtyuniversal.com and look at all of the products and services there. And like you say, with the menu system, pick what they need. But maybe calling you first or emailing you first and talking about their situation, and then you can kind of from there determine whether, you know, there's a relationship for you to actually get involved.
Right. And we actually we have affiliates and members in all 50 states, so we can refer people to other people, you know.
Oh, there you go.
It would be impossible for me personally to talk to everybody all day long. I would be like insane. I get over 1,000 emails as it is now. But I'm happy to. No. I mean, I'm happy. We're happy to consult and figure it out and help and assist and put people in the right direction. You know, and And it's not that we can't. We do, and we schedule everything, so it works out really well. So yeah, we actually can help you. And the best place to go first is either, you know, to go to the website or call.
Okay.
It's important. It's really important on the short sales. I think that is a better way to go. Now, some people opt to go into a bankruptcy. The bankruptcy rules have changed drastically since 2003. I think when Bush was in, there were a lot of changes made and more changes. So some people, if they went into a bankruptcy, may not have to worry about they may wipe out the debt completely. Just, you know, so there's all these different avenues to look at. Another thing with the short sale, a couple of things that just stand out that you want to really protect yourself is you're going to, say, for example, with the example we used where the lender takes $100,000 short, they're going to give you a 1099 later, and you could end up being responsible for taxes on that loss. Even though you didn't put the money in your pocket, it went to the lender, lost it. So that's another question and situation you have to go over with your accountant. Very, very important, because your accountant will know your situation. Back in December, what was it, 07, President Bush had put in the they put in the law to where you didn't have to pay any taxes if it was principal residence. You wouldn't have to pay any capital gains or anything if it was your principal residence, and they weren't allowed to hold you liable on the 1099. Some parts of that have been extended and are going away, unfortunately, but some have been extended. So you want to talk to your accountant. The accountant will know whether you're insolvent or not, whether they can work it out. And especially for investors and second home buyers, owners, et cetera, that's something that your accountant needs to look at. And so it's a big question when you need to, when you're going to go into short sale, contact your accountant or who you trust that's in accounting as an accountant, or find a good CPA attorney, even is better. Explain your situation and see what they come up with. The big thing is you just don't want any surprises, right? You don't want to go into this and say, hey, this is going to relieve everything, and then in the future go, uh-oh, I didn't cover myself. I didn't look at every avenue. So but I still think there's also a peace of mind to all this. There's a lot of people that are so far under, and that's another aspect of what we wanted to talk about was when people are so far under and so depressed and mentally not handling these situations because they've never been through it before, right?
Yeah. Well, I I'll just, again, part of our show, and you're going to get to know this as you get to know Natalie and I, is pretty authentic, and we're going to share honestly, mistakes and we went through that personally. I know what you're talking about. My wife and I went through a season where I was out of work. We fell behind. We had to get out of our house. We had to move out of our home, rent it out to somebody who could pay the rent so we could cover the mortgage. In that process of falling behind, we had a second on the property, and the real estate or the mortgage company offered us, I think the second was around $40,000, and they said, well, we'll offer you to pay it off and call it good at 10, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
So I did. We did. We thought, hey, we'll do it. And we dipped into our savings, and we paid it off. But like you said, we came to find out when we did our taxes, something they didn't tell us, which is we had to pay taxes on that, on that $30,000. And so, there are things that need to be known. But to the point of the emotion of that situation. I remember sitting there looking at my daughter, who had grown up in the home, my wife, who I'm supposed to provide for, and they're both sitting there. We've got everything, boxed up, and we're ready to move stuff out, and they're both sitting there crying because we're leaving our home. And as a father, a husband, a provider, you can imagine how I felt as such a failure. And I felt like, and so I know firsthand.
And you're not a failure, and you weren't a failure at all. And right, and for personally, it's people are, I'm hearing it over and over around the country and with different sellers and different clients that we work with. I do work with clients individually too. It's when we have, we're committed with the client, et cetera. I'm hearing constantly people say, hey, I've always paid my bills. I've paid my bills my entire life.
Yeah.
And now I can't, and I feel like I'm a bad person because I can't pay my bills. And it's just like, this does not make you a bad person. You know, bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
And this isn't something that, you know, I know a broker who had a client killed himself in the fall last December. And it's it's horrible. It's gut-wrenching. Mm. It's horrible. It shouldn't be happening. Mm. And, you know, somebody may say, well, when they're in that situation, hey, you don't know what it feels like. No, we do. We understand. We really do. And the biggest thing that we want to get across is that tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
This too will pass.
More, and that's where we put really, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, home is where the heart is. Like when you were describing what you described just now, Randy, you still had your children with you. You still had Monica with you, right?
Yeah.
And that's what is most important, not the house, not the material thing. You can get another house. You can find another roof over your head. You know what I mean? That's not what's so important. What's more important is health, survival, making it through, you know, and that's what breaks my heart in what's been going on with these short sales.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And that's where we want to get people to know, hey, you're wonderful. There's nothing, this is something that happened. It's not, you're not, it's fault that way.
I love that.
Feel so bad, you know?
I love that. Home is where the heart is. Hey, we've got a phone call. Should we go to the phone lines?
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hi, you're on Realty Universal Radio.
Yes, my name is Cheryl from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
I have a question about a short sale.
Yes.
Okay, great.
My question, I have some friends that they own a property they've had for probably 6-7 years, and they've been behind on their mortgage for probably about a year. They're behind on their car payments. They're threatening foreclosure and all, and they were asking me about short sales, and I don't really know enough about it, which way would be the best way for them to go. Should they go with the foreclosure, a short sale? Do you have any advice there?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We would need to know a lot of answers about them, like how many months behind they are, if there's already a foreclosure date.
I know the bank was threatening foreclosure. I do not know if they have a date or not.
Okay. They may want to actually go to the website and fill out their contact information so we can put them in touch with somebody that can help them to make the decisions, because we were just going over a little bit ago the different things they need to check into. I think a short sale is going to be better than a foreclosure in the long run. I'm not sure.
How does that short sale work?
They actually, what would happen is if the lender actually, the property gets put on the market, and then the owners fill out a short sale package, and they have to list assets and liabilities and a hardship letter. There's a whole list of items that they need. And but many people, you know, can still keep assets. It's not, I think a lot of people have the misconception out there that if they have any assets, they're not going to be approved for a short sale, and that's not the case. So there's a process, and then the lender works with the real estate company and whoever's negotiating. It could be the real estate company or someone else. And there's a process that goes through. Can take anywhere, depending on what you said. It's in Pennsylvania.
It can be
3 months, 6 months. It just depends how it really works. So they have to put the property on the market, and then once they get a buyer, the short sale process starts. But most lenders, if the owners have the property on the market, are going to work with everybody and not go ahead and foreclose. So most lenders are very patient in that situation. So typically, from what you're saying, I would think a short sale is better than a foreclosure. It's just hard to know the people's personal situation, and sometimes some people opt for a bankruptcy to try to wipe everything out. And we were just discussing a little while ago on the 1099 that people get when they do a short sale, and they still have tax liability that they have to talk to their accountant with. With a bankruptcy, some of that's wiped out, and they don't have to worry about it at all. So the best advice would be the short sale should be better than a foreclosure, but they can actually go to our website and fill out the contact us form, and we can put them in touch with somebody in their area, too. That's right.
Okay.
God, it's such a good friend to think about that, too, to check on them.
Yeah, I appreciate your advice there, and I will pass that along. And the website, again, is
realtyuniversal.com. Yeah, it's realtyuniversal.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And I just have a quick question for you, because we were just talking about the emotion. Are they emotionally okay? Or are they pretty okay with the emotionally, like, handling it? Or?
Well, they've had their ups and downs. I mean, they're to the point where they're kind of numb about the whole thing.
Mm.
I mean, they don't like the idea that they're probably going to end up losing their house, but they don't have the income they had before, and there's just no way they can do it.
Mm.
They've got to unload the house one way or another.
Well, I would absolutely recommend if they're church going folks, obviously connect with some folks, at church and even their pastor. If they're not, maybe talk about maybe getting some counseling if need be. I mean, again, we're all about trying to help people, you know, work through things and issues, and we really do need each other. And that's as we've talked about earlier, that's a big part of this show, and I know Natalie's a heartbeat and vision of Realty Universal is to help people through the tough times and celebrate the good times. And so just that's an important part of it. And, we'd encourage them to, if they can, process it with somebody, I guess, is the bottom line.
Okay.
Not hold it all
in. All right, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank
Aloha.
You for calling in.
Bye-bye.
All righty. That was cool. All right, our very first phone call.
I think we have another caller on the line.
Do we? Oh, I do. You know what? You are. You're looking at the switchboard as well.
Yeah, there's another caller on the line. Right. You want to pick up? They've probably been on hold for a little while.
Hi, Realty Universal Radio. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. What's your topic today?
Our topic is kind of wide-ranging, but for real estate, it's short sales today.
Oh, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm Laurie Miller, and I'm calling from Florida.
Oh, so Laurie, thanks for calling in. We've been talking about the short sales and the markets and everything right now and how it's affecting people personally. How it's affecting people. We've actually about short sales and what to do logistically, but then also how it's affecting people emotionally.
Right. I threw, a bankruptcy, and then I had to end up putting my house in with it, and I was an emotional wreck at one time. But you know what? It's all material things, and I've been there, done that, and I'm very proud of myself for going that far with my life and
good
having a marriage.
You
know, so now I'm doing so much better. I'm just, I don't have that responsibility. I did lose my home, and I just rise from it and just made myself a better person, and now I'm doing really well.
So you can look that up. How long ago did you lose your home?
I would say now it's been probably 2 years.
Mm.
Wow. And do you feel like do you feel better now that it's over with, or do you feel, do you have any regrets? Are you glad? Do you feel like you made the right decision? Because it sounds like you really are fine with what you've done, and feel good about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I sat on my couch and I was sitting there like, no way, this is not happening to me. You know, I never thought in a million years that would happen to me. I was in a down spot then, but after a while, going day to day and realizing, I just got to pick myself up and do what I got to do and start all over if I have to, because like I said, I know I've done it, so I'm proud of myself for, doing what I did. And
absolutely.
Now, so, I hear, people getting really down about it and, just going off the deep end. That's crazy. I mean, you really got to, hey, this is life. This is what it is. And let me move forward from this. I learned from it. Now let's move on.
Oh, I'm so glad you're saying that. I'm so glad you're saying that because you're right. There's a lot of people that are going through the mental part of it and depression we've had people that literally have taken their lives, which is totally, totally should never, ever, ever happen under any circumstances,
Absolutely not. I went to get gas in my vehicle and I was in the gas station with penny rolls. And I was so embarrassed. But by the time I got up there, the penny rolls had some white powder on it. I don't know if it's baby powder or what, but they would accept it. So I had to walk out of the
gas station. They wouldn't accept it.
I walked out of the gas station, got in my car, and said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I need gas. So I rumbled through my car, my pocketbook, got every piece of change I could, and I stood in line. And I'm standing there, and I'm sweating, thinking, oh, my gosh. What do I have here in my hands? I'm so embarrassed. And by the time I got up there, I told the lady's cash register, I said, I apologize so much for the change. She said, the guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder, says, Miss, don't you worry about it. We're all there. And she said, from that point, I was okay. I thought, you know what? I'm not here by myself.
Isn't that wonderful? Obviously, that's awesome.
Myself 100% for everything. You know, I had parts in it. I didn't realize that the economy was going to do what it was doing and my jobs were going to be gone. But now that I realize that, then I just picked myself up and moved on, and I'm actually happier now.
That's great.
You know, you just said you were standing in line, and then a man said to you, don't worry, we're all there. And didn't that kind of lift your heart up a little bit?
Absolutely. That's why I said, from that point on, I wasn't so much worried about it. My situation, everybody was feeling my pain. They were
talking
about
it. That's so fantastic, because that's something we're trying to do with Inspiration, with what we're hoping and praying to do, because every one of us can make a difference, right? And and you never know what that other person's going through, and just that uplifting comment can help. And it sounds like you're really doing great, and you've really pulled through it, and you can be an inspiration for other people.
I would hope I could be. Been there, done it.
Wow,
that's fantastic.
That's great. Boy, that does speak to the power, too, that we each have every day to change somebody's life.
Absolutely.
Each day, by what we say and you know, our demeanor and being sensitive to other human beings. And that's awesome that guy did that, and it so lifted you up. And, yeah, that's exactly the power we all have. And
Do you have children? Do you have children?
Yes, I have a 28-year-old gentleman, Michael.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. And they're doing great, and we just had our baby, grandbaby, Caden.
Aw, congratulations.
Yeah, I think maybe what you're going through with that is that you do have a lot to live for, and tomorrow's another day.
Exactly.
And don't ever let any financial or material things bring you down, because you can always get it again.
Home is where the heart is.
Yep,
absolutely. We say on our thing, home is where the heart is. It all starts with our heart and soul. It's amazing. Wow. Thank you so much for calling in. I really, it's wonderful. Gosh.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope I could help. And you guys have a wonderful day and happy New Year.
Absolutely. Hey, Lori, you're in, you said Florida?
Yes.
Okay, because our show will be every Wednesday, just if you want to pass it on to anybody, if you know anybody can use help. And we do have archives, so even what you said is going to be, which is so important and so inspirational, and I so thank you for sharing with us. It will be on our archives, so, if you can pass it on, because we'll be every Wednesday at 3 o'clock East Coast time.
Wonderful. Thanks. I will definitely pass that on.
Thank you.
God bless.
You have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Wow. Woo-hoo, that's good stuff. What a great way to end the show. That's powerful.
Are we live?
Yes, we are.
The way you said, what a great way to end the show, I'm going, Randy, you got to know.
We still have a couple more minutes, but that's a great way, just a great call. It's the last call we'll be able to take today.
Isn't that wonderful, though, that she was willing to do that? And the other person that called in, too, I think it's just so wonderful being concerned about their friends. And this just shows us that, we all can, I think, as being a woman, I've always known, I've never had any problem calling girlfriends or friends if I had an issue or wanted to bounce something off and say, what do you think, Some people won't talk, and I think that extra talking or that extra thing, communication, just lifts your spirit up, and we can all do that for everybody every single day, no matter where we are. She was getting gas, and look what happened to her, And so I think we should all remember that every day and think about it. And I heard something, I was at a tiny, tiny, some of them are big and some are little, and somebody came in and spoke and said, they were saying, you know what, you have a choice every day. you can either be the thermometer or you can be the thermostat. And she said she would rather be the thermostat. And I'm like, yes. You know, we have a choice to either put a smile on everyone's face around us or not, because we don't know what they're going through. You know, a lot of times people assume that somebody's frowning at you or giving you a funny look that they're being mean. But they don't. That doesn't be, they might not even be thinking about you, right? You know, so I think that's – and I know we're running out of time here, so you know me, I'll just keep talking.
Well, as she was sharing her story and then you were just kind of capsulizing – I think, and I know you and I are both inspirational, motivational quote type people, but I think a lot of folks in sales and whatnot
that's
might be our
coffee.
I think of Plato. The quote Plato said, "Be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting a hard battle." And
I
think that's
amen.
So true. They might even kind of put on this front of, "Hey, I'm okay and everything's cool," but everybody we meet is fighting a hard battle and can. You know, receive kindness and be thankful for that. And her story was so uplifting. And I guess that would be the challenge today.
I'm so thrilled that she was comfortable sharing that story. You know how sometimes people, like you said, they're worried about what someone thinks, or they're feeling uncomfortable, or they're embarrassed. And she felt very open in sharing that. And I really appreciate that, because that's what we're all about, is helping people, right? And if we help one person, when we're on the show, if one person gets helped, we did our job.
Realty Universal Radio, The Maiden Voyage. We are just about over. It's been a great hour. Again, it's the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it, as we continue to share with you every Wednesday at this time, blogtalkradio.com/Realty Universal. That's where you'll find us, blogtalkradio.com/Realty Universal. Of course, the website, realtyuniversal.com. And go there, whether you're a buyer, a seller, you know, an agent, just interested in more information on Natalie and some of the menu systems and how she can help, and Realty Universal and an agent near you can help you pick and choose. Such a brilliant, brilliant idea, and we're going to be talking more about that, of course, every program, because it's such an amazing thing. But the menu system at realtyuniversal.com, and I want to encourage you to do that. And we're going to be getting a Facebook page, Twitter page, and all that good stuff going, to where you'll be able to email us questions, comments, tweet, Facebook, all of the above. But again, for now, realtyuniversal.com is the website. And Natalie, I think we're about done.
I would like to just say, everybody, yes, we have systems and programs and ways you guys can dig in, and motivational things, just inspirational. If you want to sign up for any inspirational quotes of the day, things like that, just to uplift you. And we always, anything you want to bring to us, we appreciate too. And it's always best through the website. And if somebody doesn't respond to you right away, please never take it personally, because we have oodles and oodles of emails coming in. They go to different places once. And so we'll always get back to everybody. Just give us a little bit of time. If it is an emergency, please, as they always say, call 911 or let someone know if you're calling us that it's a dire emergency. But I just want to mention that, because a lot of times people don't realize, you know, how inundated you can be when you're doing something like what Randy and I are doing. Mm. And so they'll think, wait a minute, you didn't respond to my email. And it's like, wait a minute, we have, like, so many coming in, it takes a little bit of time. We do, once somebody's in as a client or they're registered, then it goes to a different email address, and there's staff that checks that 24/7. But I'm just mentioning that because I don't ever, ever, ever want to offend anybody, and we would never do that intentionally, so that if you don't hear from us, call us, you know, get it back to us again. And then the last thing, Randy will take off the show, and Randy, thank you, you're wonderful. And I'm so looking forward to doing this with you every week. And to everybody out there, my last words are, I wish you peace.
You there? Nope.